This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. There are more than 400,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. The severe cases end up in the hospitals, but many sick people with milder symptoms are fighting to get better at home. There are also thousands having symptoms, trying to figure out if they are sick with the virus or have a different illness. You've sent us many questions about these situations. So joining us now to give us some answers is Dr. Lucy McBride. She's a physician practicing internal medicine in Washington, D.C. She did her medical training at Harvard Medical School and Johns Hopkins University Hospital. Dr. McBride, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
So many different scenarios. So we're going to begin with a question from Jason in Seattle.
I know that there's evidence that some people never get symptoms, but it would seem incredibly useful to be able to self-diagnose mild symptoms to know that one should completely self-quarantine in that case. What are some examples of mild symptoms associated with mild cases of COVID-19?
How about that, Dr. McBride? Can you tell us some of the first symptoms of the virus? And can I just ask you, do you even use the term mild yourself medically or first symptoms?
Yes.
What's the most used? Is mild symptoms okay?
Mild symptoms is perfectly fine, and it's actually a lovely word given that some symptoms are not so mild, but most people do have mild symptoms. The symptoms that we're talking about are sore throat, runny nose, fatigue, a light cough. The challenge is, as Jason is alluding to, that these symptoms mimic a lot of other illnesses and even allergies that we're seeing with the pollen season, so it can be very confusing to patients. One thing I might suggest to Jason is to check the CDC website. They have a nice symptom checker. But it's obviously not a substitute for talking with your personal physician to help tease out what you're dealing with at home.
Our next question is from Anna in Fairbanks, Alaska. Let's listen.
Are there preventive measures that can be taken at home during the initial days of illness to prevent the virus from moving to the lower airways? For example, after a surgery, you may be encouraged to walk, use a spirometer, and sit upright in bed to prevent pneumonia. Would similar actions be helpful during the onset of the virus?
First, Dr. McBride, tell me what a spirometer is, because I do not know, and then you can tell us what measures you recommend.
A spirometer is a plastic device that people use to help inspire and to get a full breath of air and to basically exercise their lungs. And so it's something that we'll use in pneumonia patients or asthma patients. In the case of coronavirus, when people are dealing with the virus at home, the key is really to let your immune system do its thing, to let your body fight the virus. There is no targeted treatment for coronavirus, as you know, for people with mild symptoms at home. And so time is the tincture, and Tylenol for aches and fever. And the key is also maintaining your general health. So hydrating, eating regular meals, walking around when you can, and staying quarantined, of course.
Soltram from State College, Pennsylvania is wondering about hospitalization. And here's this question.
What kind of treatments or care are being given to COVID-19 patients in a hospital other than the extreme treatment of being on a respirator? In other words, if I were at home sick with the virus and I don't want to be on a respirator, what benefit is there to go into the hospital?
And I'm really glad for this question, because how exactly does home care differentiate from hospital care? And at what point is it absolutely necessary to seek medical help?
Again, this is where it's crucial to have a relationship with a primary doctor who can help you know when it's time to go to the hospital. What the hospital can do is a couple of things. One, supportive care. First, making a diagnosis and understanding what we're dealing with. Is this a diagnosis of coronavirus or is this something else? Is it a pneumonia or is it a coronavirus pneumonia? Is this the flu? And then the hospital can offer access to treatments like oxygen and other medications that are now being investigated for coronavirus treatment in the most severely ill patients.
Mary in Ohio has a question about pneumonia. She writes, it sounds like folks who are pretty sick, like with pneumonia, are nevertheless told to stay home and take care of themselves. How should senior citizens prepare for this? And I'm going to amend this question, if you don't mind, Dr. McBride, to say people who live alone. You don't have to be a senior to live alone and be really enfeebled if you're sick. So what do you say?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's one of the more terrifying situations for my older patients, particularly when they live alone, because some of them feel like they're being told by media and things they're hearing on the internet that they're supposed to stay home no matter what. That's absolutely not true. The hospital is there for you with open arms if you need to be there. But again, I'll go back to my refrain that it's important to have a doctor to help you understand what is going on and how sick you are, how likely is it that you can treat your symptoms at home, or how urgent is it to get you to emergency care? The beautiful thing about this shift recently in medical care to telemedicine by necessity is that doctors are now able to reach people more than ever in their homes by TV screen, by remote access. So hopefully in the future, we'll be seeing more access to doctors by virtue of telemedicine.
If you have a question for Dr. McBride, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or share it on social media using the hashtag NPRConversation. Up next, we have Pat from New Mexico.
What should you do to prepare a room for self-quarantine? I only have construction masks and gloves from home improvement projects. And what about disinfecting the room afterwards?
Dr. McBride, what do you say?
So there's nothing you really need to do to prepare to quarantine an ill patient. The key is that they have a comfortable bed, access to water, and that they have a mask and gloves to use when they absolutely need to go outside of that sort of safe, sealed off space. But there's nothing you have to do to really prepare to be sick in a quarantine space. After someone is sick, that's when you need to make sure that the room is as virus-free as possible. The nice thing that we are seeing in more and more data that's coming out is that the virus doesn't actually live on fabric like bed sheets for very long. And it lives more on like metal and soft plastics like doorknobs and like elevator buttons in apartment buildings than it does on sheets. So, you know, in reality, you could actually just have the person, you know, convalesce and recirculate in the house when they're well, and then let the room just sort of let the virus die in the room for a day, day and a half, and then it might be fine. You might want to Clorox it just for safe measure, but that's all that you need to do.
Our next question is from Laura in Olympia, Washington, and she's wondering about allergies.
I often have a spring cold triggered by allergies, but I've had a dry cough for almost a month now. It was pretty infrequent, but it's getting more frequent and more chesty in the last week. I don't have a fever or any other obvious symptom. Is this allergies, bronchitis, or could this be a case of COVID-19 that has taken a while to manifest?
Dr. McBride, I'm betting you're hearing this from, you're in Washington, D.C., which is known for its beautiful, you know, flowers, but also horrendous pollen at this time of year. So I'm betting you are getting this question all over the place from your patients.
You're absolutely right. I'm talking to patients every day about this exact question. It's probably the most common question I'm getting. And the first thing is not to panic, because a lot of people are suffering from allergies and people are often familiar with their seasonal allergy symptoms. That said, I'm telling people that they need to presume this is coronavirus because it's so prevalent in the community and there's such a high risk of community spread.
Wow.
That so, I want people to be...
Call a doctor. Call your doctor. That is Dr. Lucy McBride, a physician practicing internal medicine in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much. Go keep
Thanks
those
so
questions coming at npr.org/nationalconversation.